something different in the safe world of Moscow petty officialdom. She had set out to bed him, and then wed him. It had seemed a good idea at the time. Not now. A thin-bladed knife glittered in Zemyanin's long, strong fingers, held point upward.
Not coward wife.
I beseech you, husband.
I have had many men and women beg to me.
His eyes were gazing into some far-off time and place. Anya Zemyanin was more terrified than she had ever believed possible, knowing with an utter certainty that he was going to kill her.
Anything!
What?
Anything.
I don't hear you, comrade Sister Anya. Say it again.
Anything, comrade Brother Grigori. I'll do anything if you don't cut me.
Oh, I've been offered a lot of things, wife. But I've never been offered anything. Let's stand a while and think about that.
The dusk gathered strength outside their windows. Inside the apartment, the husband and wife stood, 6 feet apart, time crawling past them. Zemyanin was calmer now, completely in control of himself and his surging tide of anger. He was certain now that he wouldn't butcher the large and gainly woman in front of him. Anya felt the tension slipping away, and her breathing began to return to normal. But her husband checked it once more when he took a half step toward her and spoke.
Anything?
She nodded cautiously, fearful that her neck might snap if she moved too vigorously.
Good. My men will call here if there's any news of our three visitors, so we have plenty of time. You and I have all the time in the world, my dear Anya. We can make a start now.
A start, husband?
Grigori Zemyanin smiled at her, very patiently.
Go into the kitchen, Anya. Put a large pan of water on to boil. Bring me the potato peeler, the roll of strong cord, your best darning needles, the short scissors with the serrated edge. I have my own knife.
Then?
Then you may come in here. Remove all your clothes, and then we shall begin.
After their razor-edged escape from the museum, their flight had taken the companions around the rear of one of the single-story industrial units only a couple of blocks away. Hearing the wail of sirens, Ryan hadn't hesitated in setting his shoulder to the bolted door, springing the lock and knocking it back on rusting hinges. It had only taken moments for all three of them to slip inside, wedging the door closed again. There, in the cold, damp darkness, they waited until they were sure the search had passed them by.
We'll move at around 1 a.m, lift the tools, and then...
And the flag.
Sure, Rick, and the flag. If we can get away with it, return here. They'll be looking for us to make a clean break. Might not search this close. Best plan I got. Then, a couple of days later, we lift a wag and head out for the gateway. You fix the door, Rick, and we all make the jump. How's that sound to you two? Good?
Better than good, lover. If it works, it sounds miraculous. If it doesn't, we all get to buy the farm together.
Later, Rick fell asleep quickly, lying on one side, curled up like a young child, arms wrapped around himself. The streetlights outside the building came on with the night, and they cast a feeble glow through the cobwebbed glass. Christy stood looking down at the slumbering man.
Gaia, he's so ill, Ryan.
I know. Can you feel how bad he is?
She knelt and touched him very softly on the forehead, her long gray fur coat sweeping the floor.
I think the shadow is closing in fast.
Rick stirred in his sleep, swallowing hard. His lips moved, but neither Ryan nor Christy could make out any words.
Soon?
She straightened, shaking her head.
Depends on what soon means, lover. If you mean in the next hour, or if you mean in the next week or so.
How about the next week or so?
I think so. Could be his sickness might go into remission again, but it looks to me like he's near the wire.
If he loses the race before we get the door of the gateway fixed...
Then we get to live what's left here in Moscow. I know that. So we best get those tools tonight and make sure Rick's fit enough for the journey back.
And the flag.
Oh, yeah. And the flag.
Rick had a kind of fit around midnight. He began to moan loudly until Ryan found a length of cotton rag and jammed it between his jaws to silence him. This time they'd been able to distinguish words and sentences. Rick had been babbling about his parents who had lived in the Ville of New York on what had been known as the Lower East Side.
Being alone among millions and shadows, sudden noises, rats and roaches and Republicans, porn houses, and there goes the neighborhood. Serial butchers and men who pulled out... Oh.
That was when Ryan finally shut him up, fearful that his echoing screams would penetrate into the dark Ville beyond. But Rick wasn't done. His body suddenly flexed and tensed, his legs jerking spasmodically.
Hold him! Fireblast! Keep him quiet, Christy!
Despite Ryan's great strength and Rick's exhaustion, the man was still proving too much of a handful. His arms thrashed, catching Ryan a glancing blow on the side of the face, making his teeth ring. Another punch hit him in the upper arm, numbing the muscle. Rick's eyes were wide open, seeming to float in blood-filled pits, staring up sightlessly at the damp-stained ceiling. Ryan clung to him, keeping him pinned. Christy stood for a moment, looking down at the two thrashing, tangled figures, trying to work out how best to help Ryan.
Put him out! Quick! Knock him out!
Christy didn't hesitate. He immediately went limp, allowing Ryan to roll away from him.
Thanks.
He eased the unconscious man onto his right side and removed the hunk of cotton from his mouth so that he wouldn't choke.
Hope you haven't chilled him, lover.
Christy bent down and began to run her hands along Rick's arms and legs, probing at the layers of sinew that coursed beneath his pale skin.
Tone's real bad. Seems like the muscles are plain giving up. I can feel fluttering under, kind of like everything going into spasm. Bad.
Rick blinked and his eyes twitched open. He looked from face to face, unfocused. A thin trickle of blood dripped out of a corner of his mouth. He blinked again.
Oh, hi guys. What happened?
His fingers explored the lump behind his ear.
Ow, did I fall?
I kicked you in the head. You went jolt wild, couldn't hold you, and you were making a lot of noise.
I see. I recall a doctor saying that I might lose some control when it came to, you know. Sorry, guys, I'm fine now, truly. We ready to rescue old Glory?
Not we, Rick. Christy and me are. You pointed out the tools we have to get.
But...
So you stay here. Keep out of sight and wait for us. If we don't make it back by sunset tomorrow, you're on your own. Try for the ruined house southwest of here.
Keep out of sight, right, sure. Out of sight, man. Right on. Too much. Too fucking much.
The guard was an old man, closing in toward 60, married with 3 children and 11 grandchildren. The youngest had been keeping him awake for the past week, and he was desperately tired. Dmitry Olgarchev, the senior museum orderly, had passed by on his rounds an hour ago, with his usual admonition to keep a careful watch on everything, in case the Americans came in to thieve. Every night for the past 23 years he'd said that. Sometimes Sergei wanted to strangle him. But this particular night, with the whole Ville a seething nest of rumors about American spies, Dmitry hadn't said it. He'd just nodded curtly and gone on his way. Sergei didn't believe anyone would break in. Nobody had broken in all the years he'd worked there. As far as he knew, nobody in the history of the world had ever broken in. Why should they?